This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. Parenting with Passion.
Today for Parenting with Passion, what are the challenges that come with parenting an autistic child? Now, I've mentioned on the show before that autism is on the rise, so this is a challenge that more and more parents and also grandparents and aunties, etc., are having to deal with. Cecily Patterson is a mum of four kids, and one of them has autism spectrum disorder. She's also a writer, and she's the author of Love, Tears and Autism. Cecily, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you here. Now, you've had other children before you had your autistic son. When did you first realise that there was something going on that was a little bit different here?
Well, he was a very easy baby, and I just, you know, was really grateful that he slept all the time and didn't move too much and didn't make too much demands on me. And then looking back, I can see a few things where I thought, I should have thought then, oh, that's a bit strange. Like, for example, I would take a picture of him and he wouldn't engage with my face at all. And it'd be very hard to get a nice full face picture of him when he was a little baby. And then when he was one, he came out from his nap to his first birthday party. He saw all the people and he just screamed his head off. And the only way we could get him to stop screaming was by everyone had to not look at him. Mm-hmm. So they were two very odd things. And then because he and his older sister were born basically in the same week but 4 years apart, so we'd get to my auntie's birthday and I'd think, oh, I remember when Jemima was doing, you know, oh, sheep say bar, and Campbell's not even close to that.
Yeah.
And then we get to Christmas and I think, oh, Jemima was able to do such and such at Christmas time, and, oh, look, he, you know, he's a really different child. So it was those sorts of things which first started off.
How did you actually find the diagnosis? Did you take him to a doctor for a particular issue or?
Basically, the issue that I saw was him not speaking. And so that was the thing I was focused on. I didn't understand all the other things that he did. And looking back, I could easily pick him now as a child with autism. But the not speaking thing was the main thing. So I took him to the GP a couple of times. The GP sent him to a speech therapist at the age of 2.5. You know, the speech therapist told me that he could talk and I wasn't being strict enough, and that was the problem. And I just went, oh, I don't think that's the problem. Finally, I marched back into the GP and said, I want a referral to a diagnostic pediatrician. Send me one now. I had to wait 3 months.
Wow.
So in that 3 month period, I was on the phone to the preschool teacher. We were going to book him into preschool in a new town the following year. And I said, oh, he's a little bit eccentric. And she goes, oh, eccentric. Well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, you know, he doesn't play very well with other children. He really only wants to play with his trains. He kind of talks in scripts from TV. He throws a lot of tantrums. And she said, I don't really want to be rude, but have you considered autistic spectrum disorder? And I went, oh my goodness. So she was the one who told me on the phone what was wrong with him.
It is amazing how it often comes that way. My brother has cerebral palsy, and one day someone, no, my mother didn't know, and one day someone came to the house and just said, oh, you've got a little cerebral palsy boy.
Oh, there
and
you
mum
go.
Went, oh, do I? And I guess it can take a long time, a lot of seeing different doctors and things before these things actually come out. Can you just I mean, you've mentioned some of the things that you noticed, the tantrums, the not speaking, but I guess he's an older boy now. And just explain how your son's autism affects him.
Well, it certainly doesn't make him happy. He's highly anxious. Mm. If he can't do something straight away, he'll protest and refuse to do it. So always a lot of refusals, a lot of, I can't, this is no good. And he's got a very cute, funny little voice, and he has a, you know, amusing way of putting things, so we all laugh, but it's actually really not very good for him.
Yeah.
He has trouble relating to other children because he is not very good at reading their faces. He has obsessive interests. So at the moment, his thing is Dance Central, that game on Kinect, you know, the Xbox thing.
I'm afraid I don't. Well, oh, yeah,
anyway,
I do. Yeah,
he
yeah,
loves
yeah. No,
that.
That.
He
yeah.
loves it. And so he's always talking about this song and that song and what's your favourite song, and my favourite dance move from that song is this. And, you know, other people get bored silly by it.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult for him. He wants to engage with people, but they're not willing to engage on his terms, so he doesn't know how else to do it.
Yeah. And how old is he now?
He's 8.
Okay. And how's school going?
Well, school is actually a lot better than I thought. When he was 4, I thought this child's never going to go to school.
Yeah.
For a start, he couldn't put on any other clothes apart from his favourite track pants and his favourite shoes and his favourite skivvy, and I thought he's never going to wear a school uniform. Well, that's changed. When he first started school, he started halfway through his kindy year, because he just wasn't ready at the beginning of kindy. And he went for 2 hours a day, 3 days a week with a full-time teacher's aide. At the end of 2 terms, he finally went 5 days a week. And now he goes every day and he's happy.
Well, that's pretty major improvement.
It's
pretty quickly,
a lot of improvement.
Yeah. And so why did you decide to write a book about your experiences?
Well, I'm the kind of person who can't go through something without having to tell the world about it. So that's probably one reason. And the other reason is I kept a blog right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
I thought that might be helpful for me to keep a tabs on his progress. And I know that people have read the blog and people have told me that it's helpful. And so it seemed like a logical step to put it into a book.
Yeah.
And see what we could do.
There's a bit of a story too behind the title, isn't there? Love, Tears and Autism. Can you just tell us about how that came about?
Well, autism's the obvious part. Tears, fairly easy as well. I cried an awful lot. The love part came about before he had a diagnosis. I was standing outside during church, rocking the baby to sleep, the other baby. And I was praying. It was a nice day. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, thank you so much for all the good things you give us. You know, I really would love a special ministry. You know, as you do, why do you say this kind of thing? I thought, what a great ministry I could have if I, you know, could really get to the bottom of people's problems straight away. Wouldn't that be useful? I'm not the kind of person who goes, oh, God told me this. God, I heard God say this. But I actually did hear a voice.
Yeah.
And it said, why do you want this? And I went, oh, well, I guess because I want to look cool and kind of important, I suppose that's not very good, is it? And I said, okay, well, why don't you tell me what to ask for?
Okay.
And the answer came back again, well, I want you to learn to love. Oh, let me tell you what, he certainly has, but yeah, it hasn't been easy.
Yeah, a big lesson in learning to love and accept.
Yep.
We're doing Parenting with Passion. I'm speaking with Cecily Patterson. She's the author of Love, Tears and Autism. Well, firstly, Cecily, I mean, how is Campbell going now? What kind of therapies have you tried, and have you seen any sort of positive results from what you've done?
We've seen a lot of positive results. The main therapy that we do is called RDI, or Relationship Development Intervention, and that's been terrific. That's been our key thing. The other things we've tried have been some diet changes and some homeopathy, which has also been good. But the RDI program, where a lot of programs will say, okay, we need to teach the child to, for example, look at you in the eyes when you're talking, the RDI program goes, oh, well, you know, that's a 10-step process. Looking at someone in the eyes is step 10. Let's do steps 1 to 9 first.
Yeah,
so
right.
We break it all down, slow it all down, be much more mindful, much more time in the parenting. It takes a long time.
So rather than just saying, you know, to the child, you've got to learn to look people in the eye, you're trying to get the process, the correct relational thing happening.
Well, exactly. Every kid develops at the same rate and learns the same things step by step. So we're going back teaching step 1, a face is interesting to look at. Step 2, whose face is interesting to look at? Step 3, how can you tell? You know, all of those kinds of things, but in really, a small way.
And you found that to be helpful?
It's been terrific.
I take it, it's probably taken you a while to find the types of things that work, has it? It's been a bit of a journey.
It took me a good 3 months to go through pretty much every therapy that was out there and go, well, what's going to give me the biggest bang for my buck? Because I tell you, it takes a lot of bucks as well.
Yeah.
In the shortest amount of time, and we settled on that one. It seemed to make the most sense.
Yeah, okay. And what have you found hardest about having a son with autism? I imagine that there must be many challenges that it's thrown up in your family life and things.
I think the biggest thing is that you can't just put it away. There's no off button. Autism, it affects every part of your life all the time and always at great stress. So everything's affected. All of our relationships are affected. Everything we do in the day is affected by it. You know, you just can't get away from it. That's the hardest
just
thing.
The hard of the daily routine.
The daily grind of doing everything 10 times harder than you need to.
Yeah, right. Wears you down. And how's that impacted on your faith in God?
Look, I've had, you know, a few years of very difficult doubts and anger. Mm. I'll be honest with that.
Mm.
I don't think I'm fully back to where I was, but I'm certainly in a different place. I'm not angry anymore and I'm not doubting anymore, but I'm in a different place than I was before it all happened. Mm.
And what about your relationships with others? I mean, I can imagine it could sometimes, just be harder with friendships and things like that for people to understand what you're going through.
Actually, most of our friends are terrific with Campbell and have been really wonderful.
Oh,
I think a lot of that is because I'm very upfront about saying what's going on, and I say, you know, he has trouble doing this, so we won't be doing that.
Mm.
But the other hand is people that I see in the street, when he used to be throwing tantrums all the way down the pavement and I'd be getting filthy dagger looks from other parents who would walk on neatly by with their well-behaved children, I think, oh, I hate you. They obviously hated me, but, you know, what could I do?
Yeah, that's true. And so I guess what have you learned through it all? What's the main message that I guess you want to get across through this book for other parents who are going through this?
For other parents, you're not alone. I think that's the main thing. I felt very alone for a very long time. Lots of us out there are going through this. There's so much autism out there. You know, if you can take heart that you're not the only one and that there is stuff you can do, It's not hopeless.
Mm. I'm guessing this book could be good too for the relatives, the friends, the people who don't have the autistic child to kind of get a bit of an insight into.
Actually, I think everyone in the world should read my book because, right, if you don't have a child or a friend of a child with autism, you're very interested in a story of faith and very interested in a story of chronic pain and strain and all of those things. So, yeah, there's something in it for everyone. Isn't
sure,
that what
sure,
they say?
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in to tell us a little bit about it, Cecily.
Thank
it's
you
been
for
lovely.
Having me.
Okay. It's Cecily Patterson. She's a writer. She's a mum of four. She's also the author of Love, Tears and Autism.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.